It's time once again for Getting to Know You. This month, our special guest is Mike Edwards from California, affectionately known to all of us as Shut Up Delete. He is not going to shut up today, however, as our queen of Getting to Know You delves into the interesting facts about his life. Now here she is, Susie B. from Tennessee.
Welcome everyone to tonight's event of Getting to Know You. I'm your host, Susie B., and tonight's guest is our own, I think his name is Mike Edwards, but I know him as Delete. Welcome, Delete.
Good evening, everybody.
Well, tonight we're going to start with just our basic questions. Where were you born?
I was born in Florida at the Eglin Air Force Base Hospital.
You must be an Air Force brat. Do you have siblings?
Yes. My mom was married before my dad, so I have a half-brother and two half-sisters, and then I was born in my younger brother.
When did your vision problems begin, and what caused it?
My mom discovered that I was closing my eyes when she'd carry me outside after she was allowed to go outside after I was born. I think back then it was a six-week waiting period. So they checked my eyes out and discovered that I had glaucoma and cataracts. So I was pretty much born with no sight in my right eye and fairly good sight in my left, but still legally blind.
Where did you go to school? Did you go to a public school or a residential school for the blind?
I started out K through 6 at the residential school for the blind in Vinton, Iowa. After that, we moved to Illinois, and I went to mainstream school with a Braille resource department, and then I graduated out here in California, same situation, public school with a resource department.
Okay, when you started to school, it was a residential school. Did you go home like every weekend or just at major holidays or what?
For about the first 2 years, 3 years, I'd be able to go home about once a month, every 3 to 4 weeks. But later on, I'd be there as much as 3 months at a time. Then, of course, we'd all go home in the summer.
Did they start you immediately with Braille, or were you able to read large print?
I could use large print, and I used that up until the first grade when they really started to teach us reading. And by then, I had noticed other students that were using their fingers to read the Braille, and I was fascinated. And I had a lot of eye surgery, so I was happy to not go to a physical education class as much once in a while. So I asked my teacher if she would teach me Braille, because I had to stay in the classroom anyway. And she said she would, as long as I would use Braille exclusively from that point on, which I did. And the next year, I lost my sight.
Well, it was almost like it was good planning. Can you remember any outstanding events or activities you were involved in those first six kindergarten and sixth grade that just kind of stand out, whether it really be good ones or bad ones?
I was really sheltered when I was at home. So when I got to school, I was sort of able to do a lot of things that I couldn't do at home. And I was pretty much a wild child. I was out climbing trees and playing on the playground, falling off of stuff. I mean, I just really was able to get into living as a child then.
So going to this residential school was actually a plus for you instead of you just having horrible memories of it.
Oh, no. No, I didn't like to go home in the summer, to be honest with you.
All right. When you changed, when you all moved, I guess, and you started to public school, how was that for you? Did you miss all your old buddies, or did you just kind of immediately fit in?
I was able to fit in. I've always been real flexible. I've always been able to adapt to whatever circumstances life has thrown at me. But it was a real shell shock because I went from a school of less than 100 students to a school of 1,100 students, and only 5 of us were blind in that school at that time, at the public school. And on top of that, the town I lived in was 30 miles from where that school was, so I was driven back and forth to school every day, and I wasn't able to associate with the students at the school after school because I was in another town. So, but I still was able to make friends.
Okay, when you went to public school and you had been accustomed to having all your books and whatever in Braille, were there accommodations there where all of this was still available for you?
Yes, in the public school, we had a lady that was a transcription for us. She would Braille out our assignment sheets, and our books were in Braille. Now, the first year I got there, for some reason, I think they had changed the math book. So she had to do all of my Brailing of my math book for the first month while they was waiting for my book to get there. So that was a little inconvenient. But all the stuff was material was in Braille for us.
When was mobility training started with you? Was this available with this resource teacher, or had this already had you already had training at School for the Blind?
No, the School for the Blind. We didn't have cane training. I'm not sure when they started it there, but it wasn't while I was there. They gave me very, very brief mobility for the school building that I was in, but the actual cane training didn't start until about the 10th grade when I went to high school. Then because we never used the cane in the hallways at the school or anything, we were expected to memorize where our classes were and how far it was to those classes and where the stairs were, all that stuff we did without a cane, because the cane would have gotten bent badly with people tripping over it in a high school like that.
Oh, I can imagine. When you started there, was 7th grade through high school at the same location?
Yeah, well, 7th through the 9th grade was junior high school, but that high school happened to be right next door, and that was 10th through 12th, but I didn't finish 12th grade out there. We moved middle of the year, and I finished out here in California.
Right. I was just thinking about your junior high would be on one side of town, and high school on the other side of town. In high school, then, and junior high, can you think of events that happened that kind of stood out in your mind?
Well, I apparently was an unusual student for the blind people there, because I went, and very first year I got there, I joined the gymnastics team. Later on, I was on the swimming team, and none of the other blind students had ever done that. And then in high school, I actually very briefly was on the wrestling team, and I was the first one that had ever done that too.
What was your event in swimming? Well, I don't know if you were in swimming competition or not, but did you have a special event that you did in swimming and or in gymnastics?
In gymnastics, I did mostly mat routine, parallel bars, and I also did rope climb. On the swimming team, I could swim very, very well freestyle, but there was really not easy to stay in your own lane, so I was on the diving squad.
Any flips?
Only by accident.
Okay. Well, I didn't ask earlier, but do any of your other siblings have a vision problem?
No. My oldest sister, I believe, started wearing glasses in high school. But none of my other brothers or half-sisters wore glasses. I was the only one that was affected with blindness. My brother was diabetic and probably would have gone blind because he was very severely diabetic. But he died at the age of 27, and at that point, he could still have good vision.
Right. All right. When you found out that your family was moving to California, and here you are still in high school, what were your feelings about that? Was that tough saying goodbye to all these friends that you had made in high school?
It was difficult. You know, I was in the first semester of my senior year. And by then, you know, for those of you that think back on your high school days, you had already kind of gotten in your little groups or a cliche by then. And so getting out here, I made a few friends, but not as closely as I did in high school back in Illinois. But I only had to put up with it for about 3 months, and I graduated, and that was that, and I moved on.
When you graduated, what did you do then? Did you go off to, like, for lack of a better word, Arkansas Enterprises for the Blind? I'm sure that California had something that closer. Or did you get a job, or did you go to college? What did you do?
Well, the rehab counselor wanted me to go to the California Orientation Center for the Blind. I refused. I figured I could use the cane as good or ill better than any of them, because I'd had formal cane training even in Chicago, Illinois, riding elevated trains and so forth. So I declined to go there. I went into lawnmower repair. Once I got out of that, I wasn't able to find a job, and I just happened to stumble in to working at the UCI Medical Center developing x-rays in 1977, and I worked at that organization for just under 29 years.
But you were not developing x-rays during all that time, right?
That's correct. They got the daylight processing as you know, things went along. They got new equipment, and so the daylight processing, they no longer needed someone in a dark room full-time developing large amounts of films, because the x-rays techs themselves could do that. So I went to school at night, worked during the day, went to school at night, learning medical terminology. So in 1991, I started working as a medical transcriptionist, and I did that until 2006.
Thinking back, can you think of a major hurdle at the time for you before the age of 25?
Major hurdle, I had a lot where I, you know, had started to lose some of my hearing. But then later on, I ran into more medical hurdles.
All right, we'll get with that in just a minute. When did you first move from home? I call it spreading your wings, move from home, living on your own.
Right after high school, I went and got a dog. I went to the Guide Dogs for the Blind in San Francisco, actually in San Rafael, just north of San Francisco. Got a dog, and that August I started lawnmower training in Los Angeles. I moved back home very briefly in 1975 until 1976, and then from then on I was always out of home.
All right. At what age did you get married? I know you've been married, or are married.
1976, I was 20, and I was married for about a year before I got a job. And, that's when my daughters were born, shortly afterwards, 1978, 1979 for them.
Okay, did they live near you now?
My youngest daughter, she's a registered nurse, and she lives about 3 miles from where I'm sitting right now. My oldest daughter, she kind of got estranged from the family. I think she lives about 35 miles from here, but I really don't know what town. I haven't spoken to her in probably 10 years.
Do you have grandchildren that live near you?
Yeah, my two youngest grandkids, grandson Mason and granddaughter Ashlyn, they live, my youngest daughter, that family all lives just about, the same place, 3 miles from here. The oldest granddaughter, she's 19 now, and I'm not sure where she lives either. I haven't really had a lot of contact with her, but I believe she's about 20 miles from here.
Okay. When did you start having major medical issues?
The major medical issues started in, that would have been 2006, with I started to have some colon problems, and there was diverticulitis, and so they put me on some medicine for a short time. They drained away the fluid pouches that form because of that disease. Then it was 5 years later, I got another flare-up, and at that point they had to go in and take out part of the colon.
Well, I remember that time, and there was a period of time when a lot of us thought we were going to lose you. You surmounted that hurdle, and then within the last, two or three years, you hit another.
Yeah, it was right around a year ago Christmas is when I started to have some choking episodes, and took a while to get into the doctor. But when I finally got into the doctor, then they discovered that I had cancer of the pharynx, the oral pharynx area, the voice box, basically. And by the time they diagnosed it was stage 4B. So last summer, I'd had 7 weeks of radiation and 6 bouts of chemotherapy. Fortunately for me, it was completely rectified. I've spent the last year trying to get my weight back. I'm all the way up to 105 now.
Bless your heart.
And for those of you that have, talked to me in the past, you can tell that my voice is a little scratchy, but other than that, I'm doing good.
I only said bless your heart because that will never be a problem of mine, the gaining weight part.
Yeah, well, I went all the way down. One of my illnesses, with the colon 10 years ago, I dropped all the way down. I went all the way down to 93 pounds. And that was really low. This last summer, I dropped as far as, I think I was down to 100. I started at 125.
Well, we're glad to have you and your glory back. when were you first acquainted with chat sites?
I don't remember exactly who told me about it. I was originally, in 1998, I'd started going to a blind pen pal list. Well, it wasn't even a blind pen pal list. A blind person told me about it. But somewhere along those lines in 2000, I'd heard about another chat site that was called Accessible Games for the Blind. And it was a text-based chat site. And after I joined that, then people told me about For the People. And there was another one right at the top of my head. I can't remember what it was called. But I joined those two. And then various sites that came from there, branched off from there.
Yes, I remember you from For the People. When did you come to VIP? Or were you in the first group that created this?
I came over very shortly after it started. I think it was in 2005, if I'm not mistaken.
Do you have any hobbies?
Well, reading. I like audiobooks. I like computer games. I'm starting to get into the iPhone games.
Back to the grandchildren. Did you teach any of them how to turn flips and all that sort of thing?
No, I wasn't really involved with teaching them, but my youngest granddaughter, she's into gymnastics, does the trampoline and tumbling and all things such as that. My grandson, he's into the more into the football, basketball kind of stuff.
Do they know how involved you were in gymnastics when you were young?
I haven't really shared that much of myself with them as far as what I did. My daughters knew I was, because I was always out tumbling around with them. But my grandkids, I haven't really discussed that much with them about that. I think they're kind of shy around me.
Well, that might be a good way to break some ice, is letting them know what Grandpa used to do. Well, maybe you shouldn't tell everything that you used to do, but the gymnastics part.
I might be able to talk to them and tell them about it, but I wouldn't be able to show them. I'd break a lot more than ice.
Well, I as long as I've known you, I think you could talk your way into it. I don't think you would have to demonstrate. Do you have any particular authors that you especially like, or do you just enjoy a huge variety?
Quite a large variety, actually. I have some authors that I've read just about everything they've done so far. Clive Cussler, John Sanford, J.B. Robb, I just started another one just now, and I'm trying to think of who it was. It'll come to me as soon as I let go of the key. But that'll give you an idea of what kind of books I read. Adventure, mystery, that kind of thing.
Right. I've read a lot of those authors, too. And I, too, like a huge variety. If you could name one thing about VIP that you particularly like, what would it be?
For the most part, I just like to sit and talk with people. I do go to some of the games, your game, for example, your Outpost, whatever, that kind of a game. But for the most part, I'm more of a chatter than I am a game player when it comes to the chat sites.
All right. I've asked you about particular things in particular parts of your life. Can you think of a really funny, extremely funny, or maybe even embarrassing thing that has happened to you?
You mean regarding the chat sites themselves or just life in general?
Just delete in general.
Oh, I'd have to say I did probably the same things that a lot of the guys have done. I've walked into women's restrooms by mistake when I was in school, that kind of thing.
Oh, you took a huge vacation a few years ago. You went to Hawaii. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely marvelous. I had gotten to be friends with a lady at a checker at the grocery store, so Karen, my wife, and myself and her all went off to Hawaii, and we was there for 9 days, and part of the time on Oahu, the other part on Maui. While I was there, I toured the battleship Missouri. That recording is up here on the site someplace. I wasn't supposed to swim with the dolphin because of the insurance issues or whatever, but we did what they called a dance with the dolphin, and the dolphin pulled me off the shelf, and I went swimming with her anyway. Went to Maui, went on the submarine, went up in a helicopter. I had a grand old time.
Is there anything that you would like to add to this that I haven't asked you?
Not really. I just would like to encourage anybody that if you're having any problems with doing something, don't be afraid. Get out and do things, learn how to use your mobility, get on your computers, and just don't sit at home.
Okay, I did warn you that after I finished asking questions, that the gang here would get a chance to ask questions as well. The only thing I would like to request is that when you key up and if somebody gets the key before you, please release your key until after Delete has finished answering. Otherwise, he won't get a chance to. Other thing is that you only ask one question, and if we have time, you'll get a chance at another question. Okay? So, Delete, here we go.
Mike, this is Parker. I'm curious. You said you were born in Florida, but you started school in Vinton, Iowa. How did you happen to end up in Iowa?
Well, my dad was in the Air Force, and he got out of the Air Force when I was 3 years old. He had come from Iowa originally, so when he left the Air Force, we went back to Iowa.
Delete, were both your mom and your dad from Iowa? Did they both come from that state?
Yes, they both did.
Mike, you mentioned your wife, Karen. You did not mention whether she was visually impaired or not. I believe she is. Is that correct?
Yes, she has some vision, but she is blind.
I just wanted to make a comment. Mike, on the canes, I tried to use them in public high school, and it didn't work at all. So you were wise not to mess with them. I didn't mess with them long. And so we kind of had a little bit of a similar path, except you did a much better job at it.
Well, I'll have to say, when I got to California, that is when I did use a cane on campus, because the buildings... In California schools, you're not just in one building like I was in public school back east in Illinois. So I did use a cane there. But even though there was about the same amount of students at that high school, it was a much larger area.
Mike, yes. If you were hosting a dinner party, of the people you invited, living or dead, who were the ones or would be the ones that you'd stand out to talk with?
I don't know. I haven't ever given that any thought.
Okay, Mike, going back to Iowa, I'm from Iowa, so I'm real curious. What town in Iowa were your folks from?
Well, my mom was born on a farm just outside of Newton, Iowa, and my dad, I think they lived in Newton at the time. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I lived in Newton or in that general area, Newton, Indianola, Ankeny, and Des Moines.
Mike, how long have you been a guide dog user?
I took some breaks between dogs from 1974 until current, but I currently do have a dog. But I took there was a 9-year gap from 1980 to 89, and another gap in there somewhere. I think it was 2002, yes, 2002 to 2012.
I don't have a question, but I just want to say that you are one of the funniest people. I love your sense of humor, and your dry wit is just, it always makes me smile. And I'm glad to see that you're back and feeling better.
Well, I appreciate that. I've have to say there were times working in the medical center, there are some things I witnessed that I wish I hadn't, and I'm just glad that I did have that sense of humor, because otherwise I suppose I've seen some things that could have made me a nervous wreck.
Mike, I have to second what Sherry said, because you take a lot of kidding from a lot of us on here, really, and you do it very good-naturedly, and I've always admired you, really, because you're a spunky guy, and I'm just glad I know you.
Same here.
We always enjoy you, Mike. We like to give you a hard time. Of course, you give us one right back, too, but I've always enjoyed you for all the years I've known you, which is probably about 18 or so, way back to the FTP days, but it's a pleasure having you on the site.
I just want to know, Mike, what's your secret for football picks? Because, wow.
You know, I don't have a secret. I don't even really follow it much anymore. But part of it was just having a good time with the group that was there at the time, the good-natured ribbing. And, you know, I was right a lot more than I thought I would be.
I totally agree with what everybody's saying, Mike. It's a real pleasure to know you.
Just wait till you get my bill.
Charging's one thing, collecting's another.
You told me that a little while back.
Yeah, Parker. I'm telling these people that they're given an honorarium for doing this.
All bills are directed to Payne and Post, New York.
I'll pay you that year bill just like I do all the rest of my bills, Mike. They all go into a hat, and I pick one out a month, and that was a lucky one. It gets paid. The rest of them have to wait.
You've got quite a crowd here tonight. Other people with questions?
Yeah, I was going to look and see how many people were in the list, but I was afraid to touch the arrow keys just in case it threw something off.
21 top so far. 21, 22.
There was 22 earlier, I know, at one point.
Why, that many bored people in the world?
They heard about the bow tie.
It beats microphone letters and numbers.
Well, thanks a whole bunch for coming on, Mike. It was a pleasure listening to your life story.
Mike, I just thought of one. If you were to choose, because there's a lot of technology out there for the blind, and of course it's given us a lot more flexibility and freedom and accessibility and equality with other people. So if you were to choose your favorite technical gadget, what would it be?
I'd say hands down, no question, the computer. Of course, I'm a little bit kind of lean that way anyway, because that's how I did, you know, my living for all those years. Medical transcription, I did not have to go through the typewriter phase of that. I was on a computer from day one. So I'd say the computer, and I just wish that I had all this technology now that I have now. I wish I would have had that back when I was in, you know, junior high and high school. I might have gone a lot different path than I did.
Amen to that. I agree.
Yeah, I remember in, going through junior high and so forth. That's another thing. Get to school for the blind. We had all of the equipment. Of course, I was in, you know, kindergarten through sixth grade, so you stayed pretty much in one room, except for music and PE. But going to junior high, here I am with two or three books and a Braille reader dangling off of one arm and having the other arm out in front of me so I didn't bump into something. And wasn't that a big chore?
I just can't imagine carrying around a Braille writer from, you know, class to class. Well, you said it was all in one room. I know people who went to college and they carried a Braille writer around with them. And I don't know how you would do that. I mean, those things are heavy.
Yeah, well, the Perkins Brailler, from what, as I recall, I think they weighed 12 pounds to 12 and a half pounds. And then at least one book and sometimes two or three. And all you could do is just tuck it under one arm and then let the Braille writer dangle off your fingers. And a lot of people, I actually got kind of a reputation in that school at the time, too. One of my friends nicknamed me the horror of the hallways, because I'd go through that hallway and that Braille writer going boing, boing, boing off of people's knees.
You know, when you think of it, going to university or getting higher education is hard enough without being blind and having to drag a bunch of stuff through a place. You know, it's almost an unreal expectation to add to the whole load.
Oh, and some of the teachers really did not like that clackety sound that the Braille writers made when you're trying to take notes.
It's just hard to visualize you with a reputation.
Well, Mike, I missed the beginning of the interview, and we talked about Karen, and when you guys met, you probably already answered it. It was probably magic right off the bat. She, knowing your personality, she fell in love right then, didn't she?
It just kind of depended on which way my humor was aimed at the time.
And John, we have not discussed that, so feel free.
So when did you first meet Karen, and did you have to spend a lot of money on her for her to fall in love with you, or she just fell in love with your sweet, lovable personality right off the bat?
Oh, I can't say it was cheap, but it seems like I met her in a guide dog's club. I was a membership chairman, and she was a potential joinee, and that's where we had met. And she had said that there was, I think she said that she was attracted by the, at the time I still had kind of a Midwestern twang to my voice. I guess I still do, but as she said, that's what kind of made me stand out from the others in the room.
You had all your hair and teeth too, didn't you?
I did what to who?
You had all your hair and teeth too, didn't you?
Oh, I still do. Right here in the shoebox.
Okay, John, you've had all your questions, because we don't ask people when they got their first kiss in this interview. Other people with questions.
Did you ever play a musical instrument?
Yes, the one thing at the School for the Blind, everybody had to at least attempt it. So I started piano in the fourth grade, and the fifth grade is when you started a wind instrument. In my case, it was the trumpet, and later the trombone. But my piano teacher and I did not get along, so she suggested that I drop piano, which I didn't mind at all, and continue with my band instruments, and I did that while I was at the School for the Blind.
Now, Susie, I'd never ask about that first kiss, because he's still waiting on that.
How'd you know that?
I was talking to Karen the other day on the phone.
I wondered who she was swearing at.
Mike, what does your wife do? Did she have a job?
She has recently, over the past couple of years, gotten training in assistive technology devices. She teaches people how to use Mac, iPad, and iPhone.
Okay. Are there any other questions before we bring this to a close? Mike, I want to thank you so much for agreeing to do this interview. I thoroughly enjoyed our conversation on the phone the other day. Found out a lot of things about you I didn't know. And folks have really been looking forward to this interview. So again, thank you so much and best of everything.
Well, thanks a lot, Miss Susie. I enjoyed it. I was a little bit hesitant at first when I think it was first mentioned, but after that, I thought, yeah, it's not a big deal. Glad to do it, and glad everybody showed up. Hope it didn't bore you too bad. I am going to take a bit of a break here, get some water and so forth, but I'll probably meet y'all over in the palace pretty soon.
Thanks, everyone, for coming. We'll do this again next month, and I'll let you know. who's going to be on the guest seat at that time. Thanks.
This has been a presentation of VIP Conduit.